Okay, we're holding Bikurim in the third parak, Mishnah Vav, and we're going to finish the Vav. No, sorry, Mishnah Zayin. We're up to Mishnah Zayin. Parak Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Okay, so it says now we're talking about initially how it's read. Remember, when you bring Bikurim, you have this thing to recite. So we're discussing how you recite it. It says Birishona originally, let's call that bias Rishon time. Kol Misha Yodea Likros Kore. I don't know if maybe bias Shane time. In the beginning, whatever it was. Kol Misha Yodea Likros, whoever knew how to read Hebrew, Kore, he would indeed read the Psukim out of the Torah when he would say the declaration. V'chol Misha Eno Yodea Likros, and anyone who didn't know how to read it, he's just illiterate. So then Makrinoso, they'd read it for him. Now, Makrinoso means, like, it's a causative, right? The hefil. They would, like, essentially read it, and he would repeat after them the words. The point is, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when they came back from Bavel, so many people didn't speak Hebrew anymore, like Bezman Hazeh. So they weren't able to read in the Torah, which I'm sure you can, you know, people like that. So they read for them.
Will you speak Yiddish?
Not yet. You know, you laugh. But for the majority of Jewish history, Jews didn't. Spoke Aramaic. That's the primary language.
And like the rabbi that says, Hare, Hare, At, At, Mekudeshes, Mekudeshes, Seili, Seili.
Oh. I saw, you know, I told this story once. It was a very funny story. It's a bizayon, a mashia bizayon. I saw Netanyahu was once, when he was not the prime minister, he was at a, went to, they called him at a wedding, went down the aisle. These two, like, kind of gorillas behind them as, like, bodyguards. Got under the chuppah, and he stops on the way, like, before he gets before the chuppah. He leans over, he grabs the yarmulke of some kid's hand, puts it on his head. It was classic. Walks into the chuppah, gives a kiss to the mother of the bride, gives a kiss to the bride. And then, I'm telling you. And then he had to recite the bracha. I think he recited Yotzer HaAdam, that's the shortest of them. I think it was, and he did Baruch, Baruch, Ata, Ata, Hashem, Hashem. It was terrible. Anyways, everyone went to ask the Kashi, he could read Hebrew, but what do you want from me? He didn't. In any case, so that's what they used to do. They used to say Baruch, Baruch, Ata, Ata. They'd read to him, you know, the words, word by word, and he would, you know.
The best one was with President Katzir. He came to the Fifth Avenue Shul the first time.
Oh, no.
They sat him in the seat of honor, and they wanted to give him aliyah. Said Ephraim, Ben Shishim. Ben Shmonim.
Oh, come on. Okay, anyway, that's a sad story. This is a sad story. Yeah, I got it. But is it true? Maybe true also.
They say it's past. He never said a Hebrew word in his life.
There you go. Now, back to us over here.
He has two Nobel Prizes.
All right, okay. So that's what they used to do. But then, what happened was, Nimnu Milahavi, they stopped coming. The people who were illiterate basically stopped showing up for the Bikurim because they were embarrassed. It was obvious they didn't know what they were doing, and that was, like, humiliating for them. They were making fun of them, so people made fun of them also. They stopped coming. So the rabbis didn't like that, so they, Hiskino, they made a new, made a takana, they rectified the situation. Sheyu makrin es kol, sheyu makrin es mi sheyodea ve es mi sheyeno yodea. They made it that the people in charge of the Kohanim doing it would read, you know, and then the person bringing the Bikurim would repeat whatever was said for the whole Parsha, whether you knew what you're doing or didn't know. Everyone didn't, like, parrot, you know, Arami over Avi, Arami, like that. Okay.
Did you not embarrass them?
So the people who would have been embarrassed won't be embarrassed anymore. And therefore they're going to keep on coming. Yeah. So now everyone, even, you know, the Rosh Hashiva are getting dictated to. Yeah, let's stop that.
We do that by landing today. Originally, everybody read
right.
His own course.
Right, by Ashkenazim we do that. That's right.
Tamani still did.
Sorry?
Tamani still did.
Yeah, Tamani do, and most Sephardim can lay, not a problem. Yeah. By the way, it's proper, whatever, okay. I was going to say, it's proper when you get called up to read anyways under your breath. Okay, right. Off topic. Okay, Mishnah Ches. Ha'ashirim mevi'im bikureyim Biklasos shall kesef v'shal zav. The rich people bring their bikurim in baskets. Klasos means like baskets that fit on your head, like In my imagination, I'm thinking of a sombrero. You know, like it's got a place for your hat to go in, and then like a big place, a bowl. Also like a bowl with a hole on the top that can sit on your head. So, because they were made out of kesef and zav, they had metal, right? They're gold and silver. The fortune saying that they're plated with gold and silver, or whatever. Either way, they're heavy and big, so they put them on their heads and they're shaped in that way, and that's the kind of basket they brought them in. Vahanim, and the poor people, mevi'in osam, they bring their bikurim, v'salei nitzarim shel arava klufa. Baskets out of netzer is a branch, an arava is a willow, and klufa means peeled, so you know, the peeled branches of a willow tree. They would basically weave those and make baskets. V'hasalam v'bikurim nitanim l'kohanim. And both the baskets and the bikurim inside them were given to the kohanim as gifts. Now, the Mephoreshim explain here that, basically Gemara, that only the poor people left their baskets. The rich people took their baskets back with them because they were made out of gold and silver. And there's a, the Bar Tinur brings a quote from Bava Kama, Tzadi Beis, I think. Let me see if it says actually here. Wherever it is, that he said, this is the, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Mm-hmm. So, the exact quote from Bava Kama is, where is it? Yeah, so it doesn't have here, but where it is. I think it's Tzadi Beis. Mikan Amru Basar Aniya Azla Anyusa. You know, after poor people, poverty chases the poor people. Because the point is that the rich people take their baskets back, and the poor people not only couldn't afford baskets, they have to leave them behind. So the Gra explains that the pshat is that if you're rich, you just basically, you know, buy a prefab basket and throw it in. If you're poor, you have to make a basket. So what happens is that the basket that you weave becomes like a chalik of the bikurim, like you invested in it also. And therefore, like, it's part of the bikurim, has like the schus of being part of the bikurim, whereas the basket, the golden baskets, they couldn't get your golden baskets, they send them back with you. So that's right. Well, that's right. In other words, like some explained that the rich people don't have the schus of having their baskets be bikurim. Is you have to say like that approach only to avert the question of a second ago we just said, well, if people will be embarrassed, they're not going to come. So here, all of a sudden, why did the rabbi say everyone brings the same, so the poor people shouldn't be embarrassed? So the answer is adarava. Poor people, like the baskets are accepted, and you know the rich people they're sent back. Sorry. That's right. That's right. Okay, what were you going to ask?
Maybe also because the wicker doesn't last as long, so if you take it back, eventually it'll throw it in garbage anyway.
I don't know about that. Wasn't a disposable slab? I don't think so. I think they made nice baskets. They had to use nice baskets for the mitzvah, hiddur mitzvah. I can only assume they specified dafka, you know, selling at Sarim Shalariva Kalufa. These must be nice baskets. And that's nice baskets they can keep. We know willow trees are quite like pliable. It must be okay. Anyways, that's the story. Mishnah says, Reb Shimon ben Nanas Omer. Reb Shimon, the son of Nanas. Nanas means a midget, so ostensibly, whatever. That's what it means. He said, Ma'atrin es habikureim chutz mishivas aminim. He says you're allowed. You remember we said yesterday that when you decorate, itur means like to crown. When you decorate your basket you're bringing, you're supposed to bring in like other nice fruits to put around, especially if you bring like dried figs, you put other, like, you know, moist, ripe figs around it, or grapes and so on. So he says, not in addition to spreading, you know, beautiful grapes around your basket to make it look nice, you could even use things that aren't from the Shiva Saminim, like for example, I don't know, estrogum. You could use estrogum to decorate it. And he also learned you could even bring fruit not from Eretz Yisrael, chutz la'aretz produce. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Ma'atrin es Apikurim, Ele Meshivas Aminim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it has to be dafka, just the seven species. So you could, of course, if you bought raisins instead of grapes because of the journey, you could put new, fresh, beautiful grapes around it, but you don't put your esrogim. And also, he also says, no pears from Chutzlar. It has to be dafka from Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha.
What does
Ma'atrin mean? Ma'at, Atara is a crown. Okay. So Ma'atrin, I guess, is like crown it, literally. It means like to decorate it. Adorn.
Adorn.
That's a good one. Okay. Fine. Mishnah Yud. Reb Shimon Omer, Shalosh Midos Babikurim. Reb Shimon says there are three like levels of fruit in the Bikurim basket. Habikurim, the real Bikurim, that's the bona fide stuff. You went down to your field, you put the string around, and this is the first of the fruits. And then Tosefas Habikurim, then the additional Bikurim, which means you went down, you found your grapes, and you put, like, of the clusters that were growing first, you put a little, you know, string around them. But when it came to actually put in the basket, you decided to add more grapes to the basket. So that Tosefes Bikur means, not, they weren't the real first grapes, but you've added grapes to the basket. And then Gra speaks out based on a Rambam. The Rambam, who seems a little bit innovative, gives a shiur that you need to bring 1/60th of your first fruit as Bikurim. He learned it out. 1/60th. And I guess the Rambam is Koveyad Alacha because he's the Rambam and no one else really codifies it, but it's a little bit of an innovative. It's you know, it's not explicit anywhere in Chazal.
Is he the anyone?
I don't know. But anyways, it's his. He's like, you know, the innovator here, I think. But the Gra clearly learns like him, or learns with him, and therefore he the Gra explains that sometimes your Tosefes Kibikurim, your extra grapes you threw in, or extra pomegranates, are actually obligatory, because if you ended up underestimating how much a 60th is of your crop, so you don't have enough grapes to fill up the basket to 1/60th for your Bikurim, you should add more grapes, or whatever it is, add any more of the same species, that's the point. And also you have Itzur HaBikurim, that's like the extra decorative fruits on top, which could be, you know, something altogether. You bring pomegranate as your Bikurim, and you put grapes around just for decoration. So, he defines what I just spoke out. First of all, it says, Tosefes HaBikurim, the extra Bikurim, that's Min Bamino. That's the same species, just more of it. So you had grapes, you brought more grapes. And Itzur HaBikurim, like the decorative, adorning part of the fruits that go in the basket, that's Min B'Sheino Mino, that's other species. So you either you're, if you hold that you could bring other species, then your estrogam, or if not, so then it's your fresh grapes decorating the pomegranate basket. Okay?
So two species, and you only get one grape,
that's okay. That's okay.
Decorate one with the other?
It's all in the same basket, so what difference? You're not going to argue. If you have grapes and pomegranates in the back in the basket, we're not going to say, oh, your grapes are decorating your pomegranates decorating your grapes. That just be silly. You'll say that the grapes are decorating the grapes, right? So now, how's it going to work out? Halachically, the different shlavim, different statuses. Tosefes habikurim, the extra grapes you added to your original grapes, whatever is extra pomegranates to pomegranates, ne'acheles b'tahara. They have a status like the bikurim, in as much as just as bikurim need to be eaten in tahara, because they're like truma, the kohen has to eat them, so too if the kohen's going to eat the extra grapes, they have to equally be eaten in tahara. Right? Upaturim in a demai, and they're also exempt from demai. In other words, we're treating them just like bikurim. Demai, I don't know if you learned this before, but we've seen a few times, the point of the demai, if you recall, was the amaratim don't care about certain things. And we had a Mishnah Demai that said, like, you know, when they bring gifts, for example, at Karbanos, we don't assume their Karbanos are not tied. Like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to bring bad stuff to poison people, just like they won't leave Truma inside the mixture. So we can assume that if they're just adding more grape to the grape basket, so then obviously they're not going to give untied grapes. That's not cool. However, the Itzra Bikurim Chayav B'Demai. If you're a Kohen and you receive a fruit basket and it's got some other random esrogim decorating the basket, or whatever, some other fruit decorating the basket, and it's from an amaret, you can't assume that the guy took tithes for that. He might have just thrown his general fruit inside, and that will have demai, and therefore, like, rules of demai, he has to take out, he's not a Kohen, so Trumas Meiser is not a problem, but he will have to take out Meiser, like we have to take out Meiser. You know what, maybe Meiser Ani, whatever it'll be. Actually, the truth is, no. It'll just be Meiser. Meister Shani. Why am I thinking aloud? Because we said demai it's hamoti mechaver lavaraya. You have to be convinced it's yours. So Meister Ani and Meister Rishon to a Levi, he won't have to give because he can say hamoti mechaver. But I guess he'll have to be kore shame on Meister Shani. Because I guess that has to be eaten in Jerusalem. He has to declare it. So yilakam kohen ma'amaretz heviyu bikur. One second. I didn't see anyone speak out exactly what the deal is. It must be that. He has to be koreshem on the meiser sheni, I guess. Because remember, he's a Kohen, so he can eat the trumas meiser himself. Or maybe he has to be mafer trumas meiser before he can eat, and they can eat it anyways. I'm just not sure, actually. The truth is, I'm not exactly sure, like, what the actual implications are. No one spoke it out here that I saw. But he treats it as demai, whatever the halachas will be applicable, that's how they'll apply. Sorry, I didn't think it through until the second. Okay, now, Amasai Amru, when did they say that? That's Oh, sorry, when they say Tosefes HaBikurim KaBikurim, that the extra Bikurim are like the Bikurim, in other words, the extra grapes, you put them with the regular grapes, that's Bezman Shi Ba Min Haaretz. That assumes it came from Eretz Yisrael. This mission, of course, going like Ben Nanas, who holds you could take it from Chutz La'aretz. Vim Einum Ba'a Min Haaretz, but even if you go like Ben Nanas, that you could bring pears from Chutz La'aretz as part of your decorations, even so, and it could be Bikurim, they certainly won't be treated like Bikurim, they won't have the din of being tolerant because they're already Tomei, etc. Okay? So, he only, even the halachas like Rabbi Akiva that you can't bring from Chutz La'aretz, but this mission is going like Benanas that you could bring from Chutz La'aretz, in which case the only time that your extra Tosefes Bikurim counts as Bikurim is if it's from Eretz Yisrael. And most some of Farshim learn we're talking about anywhere in Chutz La'aretz, and some of them the Chiddush is, this is like remind you of the discussion we had before, we're definitely talking about the part of with the Transjordan, right, the Eva Yard and the Mizrach, which is like questionable. Remember we said it's not Eretz Zavos Chalav Dvash, so it doesn't count. Even though it's Eretz Yisrael, maybe, as that discussion we had, but even if it is Eretz Yisrael, it's not considered the land flowing with milk and honey, and therefore it's exempt from Bikurim, and therefore if you bring Bikurim from there, as Tosefes Bikurim, it won't count as Bikurim. Okay, fine. So we're going to stop there with this parak.